taken experience. And so James has to answer that the kind of faith that does not produce works is not saving faith. So that's James' argument here, and he's going to show some things that that faith and works, they go together. And so James' question is not simply, when we look at it, can faith save? So, but when you look at it in the Greek text, it suggests, can that faith save him? And so can merely professed but undemonstrated faith, can it save? And that's what this is really all about. So notice what James says. Let's look at verse 14. James began to say, "What do it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and have not works? Can faith save him?" Now, he starts out by saying, "My brethren." Now, what did we say about when James addresses his audience, when he starts out by saying, "My brethren"? What is he doing? Anybody remember? He's starting a new topic, okay? Every time you see James address, when he said, "My brethren," he's fixing to address a new topic. And so we see here, so he says, "My brethren, what do it profit?" Now, when you look at the word profit means advantage. It means good. What advantage does it have? What good does it have? What profit does it have? "My brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him?" So there are two questions that are being raised in verse 14. All right? And so he starts out by saying, he said, "What profit it, my brother, though a man say?" Now, when you look at this particular phrase right here, it governs the interpretation of the entire passage. And so James does not say that this person actually has faith, but that he claims to have faith. All right? So that's why he said, "What though a man say," he claims, though he say he has faith. And so that's what James is doing. And when you look at this faith, when he talks about faith, this is best understood in a broad sense. In other words, it's speaking of any degree of acceptance of the truth of the gospel. And so he says, though a man say that he has faith, but then he says, and what? Have not what? Works. When you look at the word have not in that, it describes someone who continually lacks an external evidence of the faith he routinely claims. In other words, you can say all you want to, "I have faith." And James is going to, show that later on down the line. That you know, if you've got faith, it's going to be perceived by action. It's because you have, we all, you know, he's going to deal with that. And so he says now, though a man say he had faith and had not works. Now, when you look at the word works here, when he's talking about works, he's talking about, this refers to all righteous behavior that conforms to God's revealed word. But specifically, when you look at this text, specifically what he's dealing with is going to be dealing with verse 15. He's going to be talking about the act of compassion, because he's going to begin to illustrate this. So what he is fixing to address Better yet, what he's saying is, can that faith save? What faith? What he's talking about, what he just got through saying, that he that hath faith and have not works, can it save? And that's a good question. We know the answer. The answer is no. And so we see that. So can that faith save? So James here is not disputing. He's not disputing the importance of faith. Now, I want you to understand that. He's not disputing the importance of faith. But what he's doing, he is opposing the notion that saving faith can be a mere intellectual exercise void of commitment, void of action, to active obedience. So what this question demands is a negative answer, and that negative answer is no. All right? And so the works of a Christian speaks to the world of the faith that he has. Look at Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. Matthew 5 and verse 16. In Matthew 5, verse 16, he says, let your light so shine before men that they may see what? That is your good works, and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. So just sharing faith is not enough. There must be some works attached to the faith. All right? So after he has addressed these two questions, now what he does is he's going to give an illustration. You remember earlier when he's talking about the showing partiality? You remember what he done? Then in verse 2 through 4, he gave a what? Illustration. So he's now fixing to give another illustration of what he is addressing here, and that is from verse 14. So in verse number 15, what James is going to illustrate, he illustrates his point by comparing faith without works to words of compassion without acts of compassion. All right? We're going to see that in verse 15 and verse 16. And what we have to look at, if you go back and you write this down, because he's basically is dealing with what the Gospel of Matthew was dealing with. When you go to Matthew chapter 25 and you look at verse 31 through verse 46, and you're going to see what this act of compassion is all about. In Matthew, again, Matthew chapter 25, verse 31 through 46. You go back and you look at that. And so what James does now, he's fixing to give an illustration. He says in verse 4:15, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food. The brother and sister that he is talking about is not brother and sisters in the flesh. Okay? But what he's talking about, the brother and sister in the faith. So he's dealing with the brother and sister who is in the faith. These are speaking of those who are Christians. So James is addressing those who are Christians. He said, now this is not speaking of wants in their lives, okay? But what he is going to be speaking of is their need. They're going to have some needs. But how do you respond to the need? And so he's addressing this work that if you're going to have faith, it has to be, you know, with works as well. And so he's going to address both parts. Now notice what he said. He says again, there in verse 15, if a brother or sister be what? Naked. Now, this does not mean utterly without clothing. What James is talking about is merely without sufficient clothing. They barely have anything. All right? They barely have these clothes. And so he says now that if a brother and sister be naked and destitute of daily food, this is in the case of a person who is under consideration, who is in the greatest possible destitution, in a condition of want that would touch the heart of all. This person is really hungry. This person really doesn't have anything, almost without clothing. And so, look what James does. He says, now, this person comes, or this person that has this naked and without this food. Verse 16, and one of you say unto them, what? Depart in peace, ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body. What is he talking about? Somebody come and they said, man, listen, I'm hungry. I wish you well. No, I'm sorry that you are hungry. You see what James is this person is without clothing. And so James is saying that just telling them to be filled with these things and not do anything. In other words, hey, listen, I understand that. But your stomach is still growling. You ain't need, and all you can say is, I'm sorry. Or, you know, with the clothes, to wish them well without giving them a coat, so that they can be warm. And so here you is, you know, it's cold. You got your coat on. You're feeling good. You're warm. You got something to eat. But then they come. That's what he's talking about, this act of compassion. Now, they are in need, and all you can say, I wish you well. James then raises the question, what does it profit? What does it profit? So what do we have to do? If we see that, what do we do? We provide for them, right? If we can. You know, if we got some, you know, we got some food you know, I know, you know, that if we can, you know, go down there to the store, hey, just meet me down here, and I'll buy you some. You can tell whether, you know, if they said, no, that's all right, well, you're really not hungry. And so we can do, we don't have to set up that if something that we can do. We don't have to set up that, well, that just meeting, I have to go meet with the you know, church on Wednesday or went on Sunday and see what we can do about it. No, if you can do it. Because, again, let's turn the table. What if it was you that needed something? You wouldn't want nobody to come telling you, I wish you well. Now, would you? And so that's what James' point is. When he's dealing with this, you know, with this just because, you know, you say you have faith. But the works has to go along with it. All right? So we have, and that's what Matthew 25 is all about. When you look at verse 42, 43, notice what Jesus said, for I was hungry. And what did you do? You gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty. And you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you took me not in, naked and you clothed me not, sick and in prison. And you visit me not. So what's James saying? We must put action to our wishes. In other words, we see it, we need to act on it. All right? And so that's what he's talking about. All through the time, he's saying, be ye what? Doers of what? The word and not what? Hearers only. So James uses this illustration. See, we have to be a sermon by the actions you take towards others. You are a sermon. You know, you claim that you have faith. You claim that you have compassion. And what James is saying, show it. Don't just say you have faith, but put some action behind what you're saying. Y'all see that? All right. And so he goes on and he says, after he gives the illustration, and after he addressed the question, what does it profit if you sit up there and see this, but don't do anything about it? Then he says in verse 17, he says what? Even so what? Faith. If it has not works, what is it? It's dead. You're just talking. Just a bunch of words. If it's not put into action, faith is dead, being alone. And so just as professed compassion without action is phony, the kind of faith that is without works is just an empty profession. It's not genuine saving faith. And so we can say that we have faith. But that's, if that's further we're going to go, is that enough? Just to say that you have faith, unless we have works to match up with our faith. And he's going to be addressing later on Abraham. You remember the faith of Abraham? You remember what else? It was what? Put to action. And how was it put to action? When he was about to offer his son Isaac. Right? He was going to offer it as a sacrifice to God. Not only did he have faith, but what did he do? Put it to action. He put it to action. So what faith do? Faith brings results. Faith brings results. Faith causes us to step out and do things that we would not think of trying otherwise. That's what faith is. Faith is stepping out, trusting in God. Is that what the Hebrew writer said? We walk by, 1 Corinthians 5:7 says, we walk by what? And not by sight. Faith, Hebrews 11 and verse 1. It's the substance of things hoped for, but it's a what? Evidence of things not seen. So Abraham put this to use. He had faith, but he put action to it. By offering his son to God. And so then he goes on, after he talks about this faith, that if it has not works, is dead, being alone. Then in verse 18, look what he said. Yea, a man may what? Again, he goes back to what he had just talked about in verse 14, right? Because in verse 14, he says, what do it profit him, my brother, though a man what? Say. And now he says in verse 18, yet a man may what? Say. Thou hast faith. And then somebody else said, I have works. And so he says now, show me thy faith without thy works, and I what? Show you the faith by my works. So what he's saying, so a man may say, one may claim works, that's what he's addressing. One may claim, another may claim faith, but understand they got to go hand in hand. So one can claim work, but if he don't have no faith. One can claim faith, but he don't have no work. It has to go hand in hand. So that's what James is addressing. Faith actually and literally cannot be seen. Well, we trust God, right? When we lay down, and you know, when we lay down, we have faith, don't we? That bed is gonna hold us up. You know, every day that we live is an act of faith. Just for you sitting on these pews, y'all didn't think about it, y'all have faith that these pews gonna hold up. Come on, y'all. Right? You have faith, right? You didn't even come in here and you didn't even shake them, did you? You just come in here and flop down, right? Yes. That was faith. When you got in your vehicles to come to the pit, you had faith. So faith. So faith actually, it cannot be seen. It's a trust. You trust God. All right? And so the only possible evidence of true faith is works. Is works. When you have time, look at 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 11. You're going to be looking at that. 2 Peter chapter 1, I think we are familiar with that. Come on, add to your faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, and it goes on. If these things be in you, and so you go back and look at this. So that's the evidence of true faith, is works. And so let's look at faith in action. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, you know, that's known as what? The faith chapter, right? Hebrews chapter 11, and look at verse 7. By faith, Noah, being what? One of God, of things not seen as yet. What did he do? He didn't see it. He moved. He moved with fear. Now, you see faith, but you see the action. What did he do? Prepare. It hadn't rained. He hadn't seen no rain. But he done what? Because of who said it? God. He moved with fear. He prepared. And the Bible says, prepared a what? An ark to the saving of his house by which he condemned the world and became righteousness, which is by faith. Look at verse number 8. By faith, who? Abraham, we just talked about one part of it, but also we remember then in Genesis chapter 12, you know, by faith, when he was called to go out into a place which he shall receive for inheritance, what did he do? That's an action, right? He obeyed. He obeyed and he went out not knowing where he was going. That's faith in action. You don't see faith, but you trust God. You trust. But then look at verse number 20. Drop down to verse 29. In verse 29, you can read all through, but just drop down. I just want to show you a few things. In verse 29, by faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do with dry. That goes back. You remember? You remember how they got to the Red Sea? And what was happening? There was what? Water. They couldn't go through. But what did God do? Made the first highway then. He departed. The Red Sea. They went across on what? Dry land. And then here come Pharaoh and them pursuing after. And what did he do? The sea came back together. Now that's faith in action. All of these scriptures show faith in action. Or faith acted upon. All right? And so we must do the things of God if we are to have faith. We got to do what God says. Even if it doesn't make sense to you and I, we still need to trust God. We still need to act upon what God has said. And so one of the very, you know, best examples of this, you remember the parable about, you know, about the three men who received talents? Y'all remember that story? You remember what happened? Two of them what? Acted in faith. Because what did they do? They went and they bought back, they doubled their talent. But then there was one. You remember what he done? All right. He went and buried his talent. He was afraid and he hid his talent. He didn't act on faith. He had faith, no doubt, maybe, but he didn't act on it. But notice what happened. His Lord was angry. He became angry and took it away and gave it to somebody else. It's over there in Matthew chapter 25. Verse 20 through verse number 30. So what that tells us is that there is an opposite side to that. If you don't have faith, there is fear. And fear is the opposite of faith. Fear is not trusting God. Every day that we live, we ought to have faith. And not fear. Although, you know, the gas prices is going up, man. I don't know what I'm gonna do, man. You know, all of this stuff is going up. And that, you trust God. Because the same God, when the gas was, you know, real cheap, it can go up to $10 and $20. Guess what? God's going to make a way for you. You know, even though, if you just look back, you know, gas now, what, West 359 here. Some places is sick and some places that. But you know what they still doing, what I still see them doing? You still see them? They're still going to the gas tank, right? So we got to have faith. The same God that has brought us this far, don't you think he's able and capable of continuing to watch over us, guide us, supply all of our needs? And so again, that's what we're talking about. To be truly faithful, we must act upon faith. All right? And just to sit down and say you have faith without doing something is actually showing lack of faith. I have faith, but I don't, you know, I'm not going to do anything. No, you're showing a lack of faith. Faith causes you to act on what you're doing. All right? And so I think our time is about up. We're going to be looking. And so what he does then, as we close out and we'll pick back up on verse 19, he says now, what he's addressing here is the same. He still continues to address the objector to whom James is dealing with in verse 18. And so what he's saying, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. But then he lets them know, and what this is coming from when he's talking about believe that God is one, he's playing off the teaching of Deuteronomy chapter 6. Okay? He's playing off the teaching of Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 and 5. All right? So that's where he is coming from. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 and 5. And so James speaks of how the folks believe that God is one. All right? And so what he's addressing here is that, listen, you continue that faith apart from works is sufficient to save us. James is going to say, let's see. So that's what we're going to pick up next week. Let's see. He's going to prove it. Let's see if that's going to work. All right? So we'll pick up with verse 19, Lord's willing, on next week.